The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Hey, good morning. We're glad you guys are here. If you're visiting with us, I'm John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill, and it's great to have you here. Thank you guys for coming. Let's keep going. We got a lot to cover today. Free sale, another big thing coming up. Free sale. We do this, this is one of the ways that we impact the community every year. Free sale is a two-day event. It's happening Saturday and Sunday, May 21st and 22nd. Here's a couple very important things. We need everyone to be able to pull this off. So you need to sign up today if you can. Find an area if you're not sure where to serve. There are holes that they'll help direct you to. Just go back and say, I'm willing, plug me in somewhere. It's Saturday, Sunday, May 21st, 22nd. It takes place of our worship service that day because we are worshiping through service that weekend. So we will have a devotional service at the locations that we're serving Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be a great time to partner together with the community and be a blessing to those outside of us. Learn more by stopping by the connection table. Get plugged in. That's the key. I feel like I'm forgetting something. No? No? Okay, let's dive in. God, take us now. Take our hearts and minds and open them to your word. God, I pray that you give me the words that you want me to share this morning. Help us to understand clearly what your word teaches us about the topic of spiritual gifts. Help us to see how we're needed, how we're called, how we're to be united on your mission. Lord Jesus, come, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you have your notes, let me give you a heads up. We're going to do only the first page today. Again, overthinking it, I thought I'd cover a lot more. Here's the key, though. The details, the depth stuff will happen in the class. I'm doing this growth track kind of just to get our appetite and get our church kind of headed in this direction. As we unfold these classes, we're going to dive into the deeper meaning, the self-examination tests that we're going to give tests at church. Yeah, we're going to help you do some spiritual gifts tests and personality inventory tests to help you figure out how you're wired, because God has wired you for some unique and special things. We're going to talk about that all day today. And my hope is that if you're not currently plugged in to a ministry, that you just get plugged in and we'll help you figure out your right fit. And today it's going to kind of emphasize the reason we're doing that. So our growth track, this is step three, and I'm going to kind of just give you some broad overviews of what the scriptures tell us about who you are, about who we are together, and what we're called to be doing with one another. So let's look real quick. We're going to start in a couple key passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you want to find that in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, our ushers will make them available to you right now. Just raise your hand. We'll bring you one. This is our gift to you. You can keep it if you don't have one. Or if you just want another one, you're welcome to have it, okay? This is our gift to you. So Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, okay? With that many passages of scripture, I should have known that we wouldn't get through all the notes. But we're going to cover the important stuff today. All right. All right. Here we go. Let's dive in. We want to, as a church, our goal is to equip you and for us to equip each other to make disciples who make disciples. We are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The Bible says the saints are those of you who have been transformed by God, who consider him your Savior and Lord, and his Holy Spirit is living in you. As a child of God, you are a saint. A saint isn't just some person who has a glowing circle around their head in a painting. You and I are called to be the priests of the body of Christ, the saints. We are here to be ministers and ambassadors of Jesus, each and every one of us. And so what are you to do, and how are you to do it? We've been talking about this quite a bit. Over the last several years, really, because we believe that we are to be a gathering, not of just people who are hearers, but a gathering of doers. We're supposed to be out there doing the work of God and not just memorizing the work of God, okay? So discover, we want to help you discover your uniquely designed personality, because each and every one of you is different. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you're gifted. And I want you to say it in a nice way. Like you mean it. You're gifted. Each and every one of you in this room is uniquely put together. The scriptures say that you are knit together in your mother's womb. Okay? I like the idea of Jesus being a carpenter than God being a knitter, but it all works. Okay? God has uniquely shaped you and created you to be who He wants you to be. And yes, there's a bunch of stuff that have happened in your life that work together to shape you and influence you. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But this, we want you to discover how your unique design, your personality, coupled together with God's spiritual gifts that He has given you, help reveal your destiny. Help point out the path that you're to be walking with Him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship." Anybody here good with their hands? You like to make stuff? Anybody? One. There's something wrong with you guys. How many of you like to work with your hands, like to create, like to get? Think of God that way. Now, God, I don't know what He was doing when He made some of you, but God is a creative God, okay? And His workmanship is displayed in each and every one of you here. And God has created you not just to, God didn't make you to be like what I do with my Star Wars stuff. It doesn't get open. It just sits on a shelf and is looked at. God didn't make you for that, okay? God made you to get out into this world and to do what He's called you to do, not just to sit in rows and look pretty. That's just what you do with toys, okay? Well, maybe that's what I do with toys, but you get what I'm saying, right? Hello? Okay. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Again, I want to emphasize, we are not a church that thinks that we've got to do all these things in the community in order to somehow earn God's love. That is not the way it works. God is not pleased or appeased, I mean, by the level of good works that we do. God is blessed and has called us to do good works, and so that we should therefore obey. Jesus said, "If you love me, do what I command." And so we are created to do good works. What good works are you doing? Let's go a step further. God prepared beforehand. Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Before the foundation of the world, God knew you." Before God even made the world, He knew you'd be here today. God knew the plan that He had for each and every one of us. And He's calling us to it. He wants to equip us to do it. That He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus set the example for us. And as we learn to walk as He walked, we will be in the light, we will be in the truth as we walk as He walked. And the powerful thing here again is not that just God just calls us to do things. God calls us to be as well. What I mean by that, a lot of us think if we go to church enough, if we praise enough, if we pray enough, Jesus, we're told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're not created to praise Him, but to be His praise. Do you understand the difference? It's not just about what we do, it's who we are. And whether you eat, sleep, drink, play, study, shop, everything you do is an act of worship to Jesus. We are to be His praise. And so, this is what we're created to do. And we want to help you. Our goal as a church is not to put on worship services. That's not what the church was made for. We worship and come together on these mornings as a celebration of the outflow of God's Spirit in our lives 7 days a week. This is the place where we come together and we're encouraged by what's happened in your life this past week. What's going on there? Oh, that's amazing. And as we come here for like the huddle to get equipped and encouraged, we then go out there and be the church. This isn't where we're the church. We're the church out there. That's what we're created to be. And God has gifted each and every one of you to play a role in that. Psalm 139, 14 says, I praise you, God, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you may look at yourself and say, I see just a bunch of flaws. I see brokenness. I see someone who struggles with habits, hurts, and hang-ups, and I can't even get things right on my own. I'm not fearfully and wonderfully made. You are. You are God's workmanship. And yes, there is junk in every one of our lives, but God is the ultimate healer and creator, and He wants to come in and put all the broken pieces together and make a masterpiece. You were created for greater things. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. God is wanting to do a new thing in you. He's wanting to do a new thing in us. I'm excited for the passion and the vision that God has given to our body, the way that we're going out and putting things into practice, the things that we're being challenged with in the Scriptures. I'm excited for the Hope for Nova plans that are unfolding, the house that we're supposed to be closing on tomorrow. There might be a slight delay because of a title issue, but it's going to happen. In God's timing, it's going to be just perfect. I'm excited for the way that this body and others have come together to be unified to say, we're ready. We're going to tackle whatever it is before us and see God do amazing things. He's doing something new in us. He wants something new to come. When you look at your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the Scriptures tell us that God works all things together for good for those who are called according to His name, according to His purpose, according to His plan. It doesn't matter. If there are things in your past that you wish you could never have to face again, that you wish you could just completely erase and forget, Jesus says, I want to make something beautiful out of those areas of darkness. I can't remember the age. Does anybody know when E.T. came out? 87. Wow, that was quick. Don't ever go against her in Trivial Pursuit, okay? In 1987, let's see, I was born in 72. It's 80? Okay. We got some Trivial Pursuit gamers going down here. Okay, so whenever it was, I went to that movie. And I was laying on the top of the boat we had as a car. It was a big Plymouth wood grain, imitation wood grain station wagon. You remember those? Does anybody still have one of those? That would be amazing now. It's like a classic. Anyways, we had this huge station wagon, and when my parents would, on nights when it was warm enough, we'd lay on the top of the roof. Roofs would like crush in these days, the kind of metal they're made out of now, but we'd lay on the top of the roof and we'd watch the movie. And I remember this one day E.T. was playing, and I decided to go use the restroom, and because of the crowd and just the setting, I was molested that night. And it was dark. It was dark out because the movie was showing, but it was a dark thing in my life. And you look at something like that and you ask why. You try and like make heads or tails of why did bad things happen to innocent or good people, right? And so, but 18, when I was 18 years old, I was working at a Christian camp, and this one particular week, there was this young man and this young woman from different churches. They were there going through this week of camp, and both of them, I could tell, God was working in their heart and life, and there came this night where both broke down and were crying and just wrestling with things in their life. And in two different instances in the coming days after that, I learned that both of them were sexually abused and molested as children. And I was able to identify to a certain level. Thankfully, God protected me and it didn't go too far, but that guy went to prison, and I pray he knows Jesus now and is forgiven. But because of what I went through, I was able to connect with them at a certain level. And I was able to help them see Jesus even in the midst of that darkness. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to make beauty out of ashes. He wants to take the broken, ugly, dark parts of our life that we think should be gone and make miracles out of them. And if we submit to God, and we look at our family history, the training we've been through, the mentors that are around us, the life experiences we've been through, God will work all of it together for good. In addition to those things, He also gives us the indwelling Holy Spirit to empower us and to give us the giftedness to do things that we couldn't do apart from Him. You guys heard of Moses? He's a small character in the Bible. Moses was called by God. He was out tending sheep in the wilderness, and God got his attention by setting a bush on fire and speaking to him through this bush and said, I'm choosing to use you to go back to the people that I'm sending you, the Egyptians, and I want you to get my people. I want you to tell the Pharaoh, starts with a P, Pharaoh, to let my people go. And Moses is like, you got the wrong guy. I don't have that spiritual gift. I can't speak. I'm slow of tongue. There are too many of us saying, I don't have that natural ability, God. You can't use me there. Some of you say, I don't have the natural ability to hold a baby. Some of you need to start baby holding and chair folding. That was supposed to be funny. It was funnier the first service because I didn't plan for it and it just came out. And this time it just didn't go over quite as well. I'm not gifted as a comedian. Here we go. So here's the deal, though, is that God wants to gift us. And sometimes there are things that we don't think we should do or could do, but God says you can. God's looking for willing hearts to say, God, here I am, use me. Here I am, send me. And He will enable us to do. We talked last week and the week before of how Jesus said to the closest disciples in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and then you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. God wants to use you. He wants to equip you. You are a workmanship. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So let's start doing them. Let's go on. We want to help you as a church discover your spiritual gifts. Where does this come from? Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is writing to this new church that is forming in this area called Corinth. And he says these words. He says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. Drop down to verse 4. We're gonna jump through these passages because of time. But as I always say this, I want to encourage you to take the passages we're reading on Sunday morning. And I want you to study them. I want you to go back in your own time and read through these to see the deeper truth, what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I want you to not be ignorant or uninformed. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them, distributes them. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about to the disciples who would come and give them power is the same Spirit that has come to give you gifts. Verse 7. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For what? The common good. From the beginning, this has been God's plan. God's plan has always been, whatever I give you, I'm giving it to you so that you will give it to others. Whatever I give you, I'm blessing you so that you will be a blessing to others. Abraham chapter 12, I'm going to bless you and the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. I'm gifting you so that the common good can be taken care of. God has gifted you to take care of those He has placed around you. God has gifted you and placed you in Acts 17. He appointed the times and the seasons and the boundaries in which you would live so that you would be a blessing to those who God has living with you. God said to the Israelites, I am carrying you into captivity. In Jeremiah 29, to the Babylonians, while in captivity, plant gardens, build houses, bless the people that are around you. Be a blessing. you're given gifts for the common good. Some of the gifts that are spelled out in this passage, again, just because of time, the gift of knowledge, verse 8, the gift of faith. Any of you know anybody that has a gift of faith? It's just like this unexplainable way that doesn't matter the obstacle or the circumstance, they believe that God's going to help them do whatever it is they're set out to do. You've met someone like that? Some people call it stubbornness. It's actually just the gift of faith. The gift of faith, the gift of healing. Over the past 5 years, we've seen God do amazing things. We've seen Charlie overcome cancer. We've seen Colette come through a battle with cancer. We've been praying for marriages to be healed. We've been praying for behavior problems to be healed. God is here bringing supernatural healing, and He wants to continue to do it. That song we sang earlier, would you do it again? God's scriptures aren't here just for us to read and say, wow, God did so many cool things back then. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm sending a helper, the Holy Spirit. And the things I've done through you, greater things will you do in my name. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living in us, here to empower us and gift us to do the things He's called us to do. Miraculous powers, the gift of prophecy, that's declaring God's truth. Have you ever been in a conversation and God just drops in your mind this nugget of truth? You don't know where it came from. It's just like, boom, that's a gift of prophecy, of declaring God's truth. Distinguishing of different spirits, discernment, different kinds of tongues. Tongues is unique in the Bible. It's got some different unique instances in the Bible where tongues is used. The first time, Peter is given the gift of tongues, and all these people from different lands speaking different languages. Peter speaks, and everybody hears in their own language. It's a supernatural gift that's happening there. And Paul, in other places, talks about a prayer language. What are these things? We have to study these things and figure out what they are. The gift of interpretation. And here's the key, very important, verse 11. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them as He determines. God has certain gifts He wants to give you. And it isn't up to you to, you know what, I would really like the gift of singing. But I don't think I'm ever going to get it. What right does the foot have to say, goes on to say, to the eye, I want to be an eye. What right does the eye to say to the foot, I don't need you. We need each other. And God has uniquely gifted and equipped us to play our role and our part. And when we don't, the body suffers. Verse 26, when one part suffers, every part suffers with it. So that little joke about baby holding and chair folding is not really a joke, because we're hurting in some of those areas. And there are other areas. As you leave today, I want you to look at that list. We printed out this list of, I think it's called Worship and Serve. We want to develop within us a culture where most of you who come at 11, you know, our crowd at what time do we meet? 9:30 is about half this size. Most of the 9:30 people come at 9:30 so they can be serving at 11. We want to help you get in this mindset of, I'm not just here to sit in a chair, not just be a consumer, but I'm going to be a part of this body. I'm going to find my place to serve. So come and sit at 9:30. Get the same message. The jokes are not as, maybe they're better actually, the first service, but same service. And then at 11, you can go baby hold and chair fold, or baby fold and chair hold. Okay, here we go. Every one of us is gifted, and we need each other. There are different kinds of giftings. It goes on in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ. Each and every one of you has a part in it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles. The gift of apostleship is sent to do new work. Some of you, I believe God will raise you to begin new work, to begin new centers out of here, new hope centers, to become maybe a missionary in a new hope house and be a sent one in that way, to maybe go from this place and plant a church and be sent from us. Some of you are gifted to be apostles. Some of you are gifted to be apostles, second prophets, truth tellers, third teachers, workers of miracles, gifts of healing, helping of guidance, different kinds of tongues. God, let's see some more. There are more. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, okay, from Corinthians. Go backwards a little bit to Romans chapter 12. We taught that series called Transform, the idea that Jesus is transforming us. He says in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world any longer, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you are able to, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Jump down to verse 4. For just as each one of us is part of one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to the others. We have a responsibility to one another. You belong to those who you're in this church with. And we have a responsibility to care for one another, build each other up, strengthen each other, making disciples of one another. We belong to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. And again, some of the spelling out of different gifts. The gift of prophesying. If you have the gift of prophecy, do it in accordance with your faith. If you have the gift of serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouragement, let me just say this. I know some of you, you're great gifted teachers. And you may have even thought, you know, I teach all week. I want a break on the weekends. Pray about that, because God may have given you that gift and He doesn't want you to walk away from it. Let me keep going. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do so diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God has given us gifts. And Jesus said, if you love me, do what I command. There are things that He wants to do through us, and the only way we'll accomplish them is when we as a body do what we're equipped as a body to do. And we need each and every part. One more passage just to hammer it home. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's in prison. He doesn't know if this is the end or not. The words he's about to say are very important. He's writing these words from prison. He started out in Ephesians chapter 1 saying, remember, you're created to be the praise of God, so be it. God appointed these things out for you before you were even formed, so start doing them. He goes on to say, I urge you, as a prisoner of the Lord, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. By being completely humble and gentle, by being patient, by bearing with one another, making every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as we are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through us all and in all. But then he goes on to say, there in this oneness, there are different giftings. Again, just to repeat it. So Christ Himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, all for what purpose? To what? Verse 12. Equip. My job up here is to do all I can to equip you to be equippers, who equip others to be equippers. It just keeps equipping. We're here to build each other up. We're here to equip. It's not my job to do here and speak here and you to sit there and then go and check your box. I'm a good Christian now. I did my religious duty. No, that's not what it's about. We're about getting out there and doing these things for the equipping. And where's the equipping leading to? To equip His people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Jesus said, I'm a shepherd, you're my flock of sheep, but there are still sheep that are not yet of this fold. Go! I'm going to leave the 99 and go find the one. We're to go and to build up the body of Christ so the body may be built up. Until when? Until we all reach unity unity in faith and knowledge of the Son of God, and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Maturity is our goal. Helping each other mature. You helping me mature. I haven't attained it, and I'm trying to get you to my level. I struggle in some areas worse than many of you here. I need you just as hopefully as you need each other. We all need one another. We need to be unified in following Christ together and becoming the body He's calling us to be. So how does this happen? How do we get there? Again, I warned you we would not get through most of the notes, so we're coming to a point where we're closing. But this is the critical and most important part. Spiritual gifts are not just your natural talents and abilities. Spiritual gifts aren't just the things you desire to do. Those things are good, and God wants to use your talents and abilities to do certain things, but God also wants to uniquely equip you and powerfully enable you to do things you would never even imagine you could do. But it begins with you surrendering your heart to Jesus. There's a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is describing a field. In this field, it looks like it's full of wheat. But when the farmer comes up to it, he knows it's not just wheat. There's wheat and there's tares. And the tares aren't good. The tares aren't, they're worthless. They grow with the wheat. It's hard to distinguish what's wheat and what's tares. And the gardener the farmer comes in, and when he harvests it, he sifts it, and the wheat is separated from the tares, and they're separated, and the tares and the chaff are done away with, they're worthless, and the wheat is used and harvested. What's Jesus talking about? For far too long, we've established religious systems and practices that allow wheat and chaff to grow together, wheat and tares. And there may be some of you here today that are all about doing the free sales and the good works and holding babies and folding chairs, and you're doing all this stuff, but you don't know who the Lord is yet. And the only different thing between the wheat and the chaff is what's in them. They're both growing in the same area, and unfortunately, there may be some of you here today who don't know who Jesus really is. You're not wheat. And I don't want you to be deceived to somehow think that if you do enough free sales, if you love enough people, that you'll become wheat. Tares never become wheat. Instead, we need to be open to the power of the Holy Spirit coming in us and transforming us from the inside out. And my hope is that your heart would be open to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who wants to come in and make you new today and set you on a path of discovering His gifts and His calling for your life. But it begins with you surrendering your life to Him. In Romans, we're told that if we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and confess Him with our mouth, that we will be saved. And some of you, instead of believing in your heart and confessing Him with your mouth, you've been serving here and serving there and doing this and doing that. And they're not the same. The doing and the serving is great, but Jesus wants you to be transformed and made new and then serve. As we close today, how do I receive spiritual gifts? Number one, your first step is to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Do you just know Him and know about Him? Have you just memorized a few nice sayings that He quoted here and there? Or is He really your Lord? Acquire faith and truth in the area of spiritual gifts. Submit yourself and start applying yourself to the study of God's Word, of learning about who He is and what He did and what He wants to do through you. And then simply just ask Him. ask for Jesus to be your Lord, to come in and to empower you and to gift you to do the things he's asked you to do. There was a Roman centurion who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've got this desperate situation. He knew of Jesus. He said, I need the power of your healing to happen here. And Jesus was like, let's go. And the centurion said, no, I order tons of soldiers. I tell them do this and they do it. I tell them do this and they do it. Jesus, just give the word. Just say that it will happen and I believe it will happen. And Jesus said, go and let it be done. For you, as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. We just need to ask. God, come into my life. I don't understand the intricacies of the theology behind the cross and behind how God became flesh. I don't understand it, but today I surrender to you and I ask that you simply come in to my life and make me new. Help me to become born again. Come into my life and make me new. My hope is that that's your prayer today. If you've never called out to Him as Savior to become your Lord, that you would do it today. And the second thing I want to beg you to do is if you are a follower of Christ and you're realizing you're not fulfilling the life that God has called you to live, that you would call out to Him and say, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, come in and fill me and make me who you want me to be. Show me the gifts I have. Help me to have a willing heart. Help me to be willing to be used for the common good, to bless the people you've surrounded me with, not just in this room, but those in this community. God, help us to discover the truth and the depth of what it means to be a family, united to one another as one body. God, as we go through these next closing moments together, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. For those who need to be made new, that they would call out to you right now. Those who need to be filled, who need to be empowered with your presence, show us, God, the calling that you're unfolding in our life. Show us and give us a desire to pursue the giftedness that you've placed in us so that we can start being obedient. And for God, most of us, that may simply mean we just need to start putting our trust in you and moving forward and letting you show us one step at a time. God, we know this is only possible because of what you did. God, you became flesh. You humbled yourself and became one of us. Born to die, 33 years of life, you laid down your life for us. Your body being broken, your blood being shed. So that through your death, you would conquer sin and death and make forgiveness available to any who would receive it, placing their trust in you as the one Savior and Lord. You conquered sin and death, and in victory, you rose again to give us new life. I pray that as we think on these things, we would be transformed. That as we share with one another this communion table, as we come to it and take a piece of broken bread and dip it in a cup of juice, remembering your blood shed, that we would eat of it and do this in remembrance of you. You died and you live for us so that we will now die to ourselves and live for you. I pray for those who are in this room who don't know you yet, that they would come to know you now. They would open their heart, your Holy Spirit would come and transform them now. There are great things you've called us to do, and I'm so excited about the things that you're already doing. Equip us, God. Enable us. Over these next moments, my hope and prayer is that you allow God to search your heart, that if there's something in your life you're considering or wanting to pray about, that you'd come forward and pray with us, as members of a family that want to just lift you up and encourage you and pray with you. We'll be up here. As you feel led, let us take communion together. There are stations in the back and in the front. If you are a follower of Jesus, let us remember, come, eat of the bread, taste of the cup. Let us remember that we are now here to live for Him. What is it God's leading you to do? Be obedient and respond to Him today. Move now as you feel led.